Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hey, what's up, everyone? And welcome back to the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to founders and executives and get their thoughts on what it takes to not only scale up their business, but also scale up themselves. And today, really excited to have Hans on the call. Hans is the founder and CEO of Talk360. He also holds a number of senior positions at other companies and is also an active investor. So, you know, really stoked to have you on the show today, Hans. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. And always, before we kick off the show, I like to give everyone a synopsis, a lay of the land before we jump into the detail. And, you know, everyone out there, whether you're a founder, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a leader, a manager in a corporate or a startup, we all have projects going on, right? And these projects that we have the power to make the world a better place, right? To create jobs, to advance diversity, equality, and inclusion, to provide essential infrastructure and improve public health and safety. Every day, you know, folks, you have projects that help take the world one step toward a more inclusive society, which is what we want. But saying this doesn't mean that things are just going to happen, and things don't happen by chance. To truly make a difference, founders, executives, leaders, managers, you all need to examine the social impact of the projects that you're running, and do that from the start, right? Don't just wait to the end and look at the end result. Do it from the start and do it all the way through. And only then, with really thought-provoking and meticulous planning and tracking, can you as individuals and companies deliver projects that not only generate profits, but also generate benefits across enterprise and the world at large. And no better person to talk about this today than Hans. Really happy to have him on the show. So sit back, buckle up. This session is meant to get you out there, the listeners, thinking. I want you to think about the impact, and I want you to take away notes that you can then implement in your business, right? So let's get Hans involved in the show. And I think the best place to start, Hans, is with us as leaders. And what I'd like to ask you straight off the bat is, why should leaders, managers, entrepreneurs, why should we be thinking of how to make a social impact with the projects we kick off and are running right now?
Good question. And I think after your fantastic intro, I can just go home, because I think you have already put there the most important things. Thanks for the very inspirational intro. So I feel humbled by it that I am allowed to talk about this. Yeah. But why should leaders make the impact? At the end of the day, leaders can make change. You leave no one behind. Leaders are the ones driving the new innovations for the world. And then why social impact is important in here is that where you see that most of the time the innovation goes to the places where the money is flowing already, because that's where your financial impact is mostly done. But what are the more than 40% of the world who doesn't even have internet? Why do we innovate for them? Why do we leave that to NGOs or people who just want to help. And I think there are already for years and years, there's coming more attention for social impact, more leadership, purpose-driven, purpose-drivenness. But yeah, there's still such a world to win. And I think one of the main things what inspired me with Talk 60 now, six years ago, is that the previous company I had run, it was flying high, and at the end of the day, it fell on this fully flat on its face, because we didn't have a real purpose. We had the same technology as we're having now, but we were just in there to make money. And I always thought, okay, when I make money after that, I'm going to do good. And I think it's still what a lot of, that's when I was young, what you learned on television. First you get filthy rich, and then you're going to do something for the community. And I hope, and this is one of the things we want to inspire people with, also with the Talk 60 journey, that the social impact, the social inclusion, the financial inclusion, it should be there from day one. And now we have been doing that. I see so many benefits and really hope that all kind of ways we can inspire other leaders and future leaders to do that more.
Yeah, I mean, you hit some really golden nuggets there. And, you know, I remember growing up in South Africa, in Johannesburg in the 80s and 90s. And I remember having to pay people to do certain things for us. So they come in and they clean your house or they do your garden, et cetera. And I got really close with them. They're just really nice and really nice folk, as you do. And, you know, when we paid them whatever it was back in the day, 20 or 30 or 40 rand to do a job, they would go home wherever they lived and they'll put their money under their bed, right? And you think, okay, that's why doing that when my mom or my dad back in the day gave me money, I put it into a bank. And I look now at South Africa, and I think it's changed because you got these great entrepreneurs, startups coming up, and no longer do they have to worry about putting money under their bed or worrying about their financial income month in, month out, and day in, day out, because you've got little startups coming up and being built out, like Pay Me Now and Smart Wage, where it allows the average person on the streets or the person that has low income to actually access funds rather than going out and maybe stressing and trying to get a loan from maybe a loan shark. And then one thing leads to the next, i.e. crime, etc. So it's great to see that already now, you know, 20 odd years later, you know, there's definitely, you know, entrepreneurs out in my homeland that are really thinking about this impact. And then you can see the little benefits day in, day out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think that, and sometimes when I talk with some younger people who also want to be more impact driven, is that sometimes it needs to catch you, right? You need to have that sincere passion for a certain topic. Mm. But I think that everybody, if you just have your eyes open, and there are so many ways you can in each sector you can make if you just think about it, how you can make an impact, what are the real challenges for now or in the future in a certain field, area, region, part of society, who is underserviced at the moment? And the things you're good at, just think of who is underserviced at the moment. Think about it for 10 minutes and you figure out what the challenges are. And then you also will see that it gets really exciting when you think about solutions and how you can impact that. Because at the end of the day, we're just small people. We can do big things, put your mind to it. And it gives you such a difference in energy and especially also the people who you can attract to do the same thing with us. I think this is one of the most inspiring things at the end of the day when you're busy with more impact-driven projects.
I like what you're saying there. And yeah, I'm a storyteller, unfortunately, so you have to be with me. And then you can say,
I'll just get some water,
Richard,
man.
Richard, shut up. But, you know, impact-driven, it's important, right? Because, again, I'm going back to when I grew up in South Africa, and Nelson Mandela was coming out of prison. And he had two routes to take. He could have taken the I want to get my own back route, or he could have taken the inclusive route. And he took the latter, and he went off and he started not just implementing that inclusive or Rainbow Nation brand for a certain type of person, but he did it for everyone, right?
Yeah.
And what did that do? It actually moved a nation from maybe the brink of being a Zimbabwe to actually a pretty great economy. Yeah, there's issues right now, but if you look at that at the big scale, and take it down to ground level, which you're mentioning, there are so many opportunities. You just have to take a stand, and you have to have a voice, and you have to get out there, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think also in our example there with being inclusive, it helps and to understand communities, local communities of the haves, but especially also of the have-nots, where you'll see that trust is a major factor. And so you can build the most amazing innovation, whether it's fintech or health or other stuff. But I think a lot of people who have a good purpose, but have a Western background and don't have co-founders like I luckily have from emerging markets, then they think, hey, but why is it there? What's the most difficult part in the uptake? But that's trust. Because if you have always been more on the bottom or the base, like it's the nicer word of the pyramid, then trust is a big issue. So also when people come with new perspectives, new insights, if you don't put enough attention first in the trust, in understanding the communities, in making sure that people from the communities are becoming part of your adventure, then you get frustrated. And that's also what I saw around me. People say, hey, but why on earth I'm giving them new opportunities, they're fantastic, blah, blah, blah. But they said, hey, man, but did you really ask the other way around? What do you need from them? Or were you just pushing your well-thought, very friendly solution to them? And that's, I think, also a bit more the once you have seen a opportunity to help people and also bring a viable business model around it, also make sure that that you get the buy-in from the other side as well. Really talk with them. And I think with your Mandela example, it was just indeed amazing. Instead of just supporting the ANC and go hell to hell with everybody else who had abused us in the past, man, that guy talked with everybody and really made sure that he understood what are the gains, the fears, the worries of all involved. And I think that's also from my business perspective, very inspiring. And one of the gaps, some of us, of course, still fall into that you only look at the problem or the solution from your own perspective and forget to involve the people you actually want to help.
And I mean, you had interesting, I mean, I know we chatted offline a couple of weeks ago, and you mentioned already at the top of the show, you had a business and that business was facing some challenges, but you floated this idea with the South African, I think your co-founder who you alluded to. And can you talk us through that sort of story, that journey? Because, Talk 360 is impacting a community, right? And you went about it pretty much what you're preaching right now. You went on the ground and you started doing that. So it'll be interesting to sort of understand that.
Of course. Happy to do that. And then I also will explain a bit more on what we're doing. So the previous company I was referring to was Ringcredible. Ringcredible was just as Talk 60 is today, the easiest app to call any offline phone number in the world for just a few cents. So everybody in the world tries to call for free, of course. I've got WhatsApp, you've got WhatsApp, and we can call for free. But like I said, 41% of the people don't have internet, and you also want to call them. Mm. And another 30% of the people only sometimes have reliable internet. Mm. So where everybody thinks that the whole personal connection, etc., everything is solved. Yeah, that's indeed very nice from a Western perspective. Yeah. But from an emerging market perspective, there are a few billion people who have been left out. And I must be honest on that. I just entered this industry because I saw an amazing opportunity. The only way to make affordable paid phone calls international was, in my time, the paid version of Skype. Now, which these days also not really available anymore. So we created Ringcredible, made it very easy. And a few layers later, we were one of the largest paid travel apps on iOS, on Apple devices, because that's how we had positioned the product for Western people who were traveling. And and at some point, I think we were 2014, 2015, WhatsApp calling came in, so our solution became less relevant. And I had worked my ass off, and with investors, with employees, everybody looking around me, I thought, oh, what on earth am I doing? I'm almost 30, turning 40, and what am I expecting to do to my kids? I'm never at home. I'm always stressed and worried. And for what? For the end of the day, for a more marketing-related game, helping people to do something not really relevant, call back from your holiday destination. No, that's not the most important thing in the world. So my own energy draining from there, and also the business case became lesser. And we also had some white labels in some parts of the world, including Africa. And none of them were flying off. So I was just taking the plane and going to Joburg to our partners over there. Say, hey guys, we're stopping. And now, what do you guys plan? And they said, we're not really good at this game. Yeah, I could see that from the results. And they said, but hey, one of our friends, he comes here for Joburg. He has some experience in the telecom industry. No, it was not really there. But and that was Dean, my current co-founder.
Yeah.
And Dean and I just hit it off immediately. And he was, because he was so like a typical Dutch, brutally honest. But then a guy from Joburg with his grandfather was one of the first black entrepreneurs in South Africa. Yeah. And Dean said to him, Hans, it's amazing. That product you made is fantastic. But you just brought it to the wrong audience. Hey, man, yeah. why are you pushing this to the sport people already? We don't really need this. Yeah. Go with me into the townships and let's see how are the people from Ethiopia, Eritrea, Pakistan, etc. How are they calling home? And because they need it, man. Do you think that in the whole of Nigeria, 220 million people, do you think they have all day reliable internet like yours? Look, in South Africa, I think 50% of the people have reliable internet, but not the whole time because data package is just expensive. So if somebody has data, it's just for a few hours a week, or you just go sit next door to the McDonald's to take on the free Wi-Fi. So, man, that was just such an eye-opener. And I said, okay, cool, Dean. So how are we going to do this? Let's start over again. I was really looking for a new inspiration. And then I said, okay, it's the two things. Yeah? It's all about minimizing the trust deficit. And that's where I learned that word, trust. Yeah, we can bring this new solution to these people. We must make sure that first they trust us and we really make them part of this. And secondly, we must make sure that topping up, so purchasing our credits, is as easy as buying their local bread. So same currency and exactly the same kind of interaction. And then he showed me that 90% of these people are still transacting in cash, just mom and pop stores, and via hawkers, via all kind of means that I, as a Western guy, had never seen before. Yeah, and then I knew my industry quite well, and I knew that nobody in my industry had even thought about the whole African continent or localizing, and not even the currencies. and let's stand alone, of course, the more than 150 different payment methods throughout Africa. Wow. And that's how our dream of Talk 60 started. So we started the company all over again, but then with the purpose to make sure we could connect the unconnected. And that's also, I think, our tagline now, connecting lives, bridging distance. So instead of talking about cheap phone calls, we're talking about connecting lives. And I think that's so cool. And the bridging distance part is also a very important related to helping people from being unconnected, being not part of something, not being part of the paid digital society, to making sure they can be a part of that. That now, 5 years later, we have a thriving business. We're the leading calling app in Africa, and we just started. But more important, later this year, we're going to open up our whole payment footprint to other merchants from Western world, but also from Africa itself, who want to roll out just like ourselves in 40 different African countries. At the moment, there's no supplier, somebody with knowledge or with means who can help you do that. So in so many countries, pay digital services who are so normal for you and me are just not available. Yeah. Well, it's so stupid. The whole product is there, the digital is there, people can download it for free, but the whole paid content, and look, for example, at EdTech, educational tech, which is education is power, is education is the way for these people to get to the next level. And it's just not available for them because there's no localization from a payment perspective. And that is, we're looking back at that, it's so cool that something, that vision started there, and now at least we're on the next step of that vision. And I think on the next 10 to 20 years, more than enough to do in that space.
And tell me, with your co-founder, did you actually go into, I know South Africa, I don't know the other sort of townships around Africa, but did you go into Soweto, Alexandra? Did you check out the locals? how they interacted, how they, I don't want to say traded, but how they went about their daily lives? Did you, you know, meet them, talk to them and see, get the view from the ground? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a must, because otherwise we're just looking from the sidelines. I think from 2016 to 2018, I think I was in South Africa every 2 months, and then we always went to Joburg, because of course in Cape Town you still think you're more on a holiday setting. But in Joburg, Durban, of course we had to make sure that we really understood our audience, and luckily we had a few very talented youngsters who want to join us and helped us out. And one of them, Tseppo, man, that guy still leads all our local agents. And man, when I also see how the guy has been marked, has been robbed, has been seen dramatic stuff, but he keeps telling us, hey man, but I've done so much more good stuff, and I've experienced so much happiness and thankfulness that hey, it's part of the territory. And then I always can't pay enough respect to these kind of guys who just hang in there, and because it's not easy always to help, and it's not always a thankful job in there as well. But I think it's important that you get your hands dirty and really start to understand your audience. And of course, I was lucky enough that I just flew in. Yeah. Dean is always there, and we really put our efforts into that.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now. Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
From the people's lives that you're changing, what did you see, or what feedback did you get from your team as to the impact your solution was having in the community?
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful word. I had to look it up what it actually means, because I'm a Dutch native, but social cohesion. Social cohesion is it's a beautiful word to make sure that you're bringing people more together. Nice. And also one of my last trips, I also had my family with me, and people from Zimbabwe working at a certain restaurant. I always ask, hey, how do you go home? La, la, la. And say, hey, we almost can't do that. We are just here with the two of us, while our kids of 13 and 16 are living on their own in Zimbabwe. And I think, oh, with your grandfather? Yeah. No, they're not alive anymore. So they're being looked off with friends. But we can only afford to call them every 3 weeks, because Zimbabwe is one of the most expensive calling destinations, and internet is just a nightmare. Yeah. And then I showed them how to work with Talk360, and then with our solution, we also can't make it for free, unfortunately, but they can call two or three times longer or more often, and they literally just started to cry. So, hey, and I'm an emotional guy, so I start to cry as well. And I helped them out to set things up. And and also the guy, Richard, he became also one of our ambassadors and agents. And because we also really try to make people part of the community. We try to create extra jobs. We already have now more than 40 jobs, more than 30 jobs at the moment in South Africa. But towards the end of the year, we'll already have a massive workforce with a fixed monthly remuneration. Yeah. And next to that, we're creating thousands of opportunities for people with an entrepreneurial spirit to really try to make them a part of what we're building. So bringing people back together, that's important. But I think especially when you're busy in emerging markets, then you must look, okay, what is the biggest challenge? Two things in South Africa, it's education and it's jobs. It's just unemployment rate is just more than 40%, I think, at the moment. Crazy. And on the youth, more than 70%. So if you do something, always think, okay, how can I make sure that we help with that as well? And that, without Dean, of course, as a co-founder, I could not have done that, because then you just look from too far away. But that really keeps us going.
But I love this, because, I talk often, on my podcast or, my posts and what have you, I talk often about the fact that right? So right now in this day and age, it's not actually about the information age, it's actually about the age of connectiveness. And, you know, we out there, we can connect with so many different people. But why can we connect with so many different people? It's because we got a bit of the rubber, the green, for want of a better word. And we have this thing called the internet. Right. And I love what you're doing because you're taking away the barriers to connection and you're giving, you know, others in emerging markets the ability to connect more often. And I, you know, this sort of impinges on me because I remember back in the day, the folks I was talking about earlier, that, you know, the gardeners, the cleaners, yeah, et cetera, you know, they had to go to Zimbabwe or they had to, lots of from Zimbabwe, they had to, you know, travel there every 6 months and they would never be able to speak to the family, only able to speak to them every 6 months or, you know, when they could come in the house and phone them. And they didn't really want to ask because they thought it was a bad thing to do. So what you guys are doing is wow, it's impactful. But I got this question for you. It's impactful. We impact in society, we impact in the community. You also mentioned earlier on that at a point in time, your business was tough and you had to pivot, you had to move on, you had to, you know, find a better inspiration, a better solution. So through all of this, has looking at how your business can socially impact a community, has this also led to your growth, to your business growth, but also your growth as a person?
Yeah, I think a major difference. Yeah, I think that that time when I met Dean and we actively chose to follow more our heart instead of just business, because we all have a good education, we have some money in the bank, we have some a nice network. Yeah. So at the end of the day, in Europe, it's not that difficult to have a good job and a good life. If you went to the right university, you're white and a male, then it's easy. Yeah. So I think that from when you see that, yeah, of course you need to work hard and you get further in life, but we're so privileged for that part. I think it was I was about the same time in the Netherlands, you had a very nice incubator called the Rockstart. And the guy, Oscar Kneppers, behind the Rockstart, he made a beautiful quote because after 6 years he had left and he was traveling somewhere in a poor part, I think around Bangladesh or something in Asia. Mm-hmm. And I saw a quote of him. Yeah, I just quit because at some point I was so tired of seeing the next software as a service marketing solution. And yes, they will succeed. And yes, they will get money, et cetera, et cetera. But how on earth is this impacting the planet? I just need to revoke. It was exactly the same what I was looking at, because next to Talk 60, I'm also involved in Brooklyn Ventures, where we invest and participate in other startups. And I had the chats with that time with my partners when I had that eye opening with Dean in Joburg. And we just, I think we talked about it for a month. And then we just bluntly decided we would only be active from that point in impactful companies. And I think it's really cool because one of the companies makes the planet a safer place. One is more on a vision. It's you can do that in such a broad diversity. And just I think, like we said earlier, this podcast, Jeff, when you open your eyes for it, what are real challenges in my field of interest? Yeah, because if it's not yours, then it's not going to be your dream. Then it's not sincere. And if it's not sincere, you don't have that energy or that sprinkle in your eyes. And the persistence, which you also need, I think, in each business, had to make sure that you keep that business afloat. I also had that persistence in my previous business because I didn't want to fail. But it's really a different part of persistence than what I have now. I still don't want to fail. I hate that. But hey, it's also part of life. As long as you learn from the school fees you pay. But it's important that Talk 60 is there. It's really important to also feel the pressure to succeed, because we have got so much feedback from our customers, our agents, our employees who believe in this dream and feel and see every day that is useful. So I can't fail, because this must be there. And yeah, I think if you really believe that and you feel that, it comes from your heart instead of from your head, and it makes everything so different. So really hope we can inspire more and more people and more leaders to make sure that the impact is just as important as their business model from day one. You need both. If you don't have a business model, you're an NGO. you have a business model, but you don't know how to impact society in a positive way, in any kind of way, then you're just an empty shell. And for now, you can get away with it. But mark my words, within 5 or 10 years from now, it's just like an investment in tobacco or weapons is not allowed anymore. In 10 years from now, you're never going to get real talented people joining your company if you don't have a clear purpose. I think we really have crossed that stage already. It's not that known yet, but I also see when we want to attract talents, people under 35 are much more aware than your my generation of the people who are in the 40s or the 50s. Yeah. People over 35 just want to also want to understand, hey, is what I'm doing, is it useful in any kind of way? So we really think we're just on the forefront of that. But still, it's necessary that we, I think we speak out and have discussions like this.
Totally in line with you there. And, you know, as we wrap up this section and we head into the flash round, which is a bit of fun, we'll get more into that later. What are the, you know, two or three bits of advice that you want to give our listeners out there that are thinking of ways to make a bigger social impact through the projects that they are currently in? Yeah, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think, first of all, think actively. About it. And they don't think, hey, it's still there. They just look at the different perspectives you can look from. And first look for the underserved. And that can be all kind of different ways. It can be a kind of social group or people with a certain background or people who can't do ABC because of something physical or they lack the knowledge. Or in every business, there are audiences who are underserved in there. So I think, so strive for inclusion. If you want to look at inclusion, you just look at, okay, who is being left out. And you also see that 9 out of 10, nobody does it on purpose. It's not on purpose. It's just a result that we at some point just accepted. Oh yeah, that's, they don't have that because they blah, blah, blah. I think so. Look for that, and of course, you follow the news a bit, or you follow your gut. And what kind of world problems? Because we look at the news, and you see a shitload of problems coming at you. Yeah. Which one hits you? Is that the war? Is that hunger? Mm. Is that something unequal? Or is it racism? Or is it? So, what do you really feel? Because you can't change the whole world at some point. And some things, there's just, you can't, you must look for something which really gives that fire on your end. And I think that's very proper ways. And just, and there's talk with people about it. And if you have something you think, hey, I do feel something about it, then investigate a bit more in it, but especially start talking with people from the environment you think you can help. Just also to see, hey, when I talk to more of these people from these audiences, do I still feel it?
Yeah.
Because I also had experience on businesses where we thought we were helping people, and then we're talking with those people, and think, yeah, okay, nah, it's not really a problem for them. It's just a latent problem. So yeah, okay. So just then reach out to people a bit more. And as soon as you talk about it more so with friends and family, hey, but what are we really doing? You can get amazing. Well, you just get amazing discussions. I think that's just a very cool topic to put on the table sometimes. But hey, but why are you doing this? And does it fulfill you, or you're just doing your job? And isn't there more out there? And I think especially as people above 35 should do that a bit more often. And for youngsters, somehow it seems to be more part of the package. And but also, of course, because they had some most of the time some more a bit more privileges. So also for them, it's also good to travel and look at their house and make sure they also interact more with those underserved audiences in what kind of way.
Listen, I love what you said then. You know, and just at the last part, you said take your time. Yeah, definitely take your time to decide on the projects you want to decide. And I know a friend of mine was approached to set up a new digital bank. And she, it sounded like a good opportunity on the tin. But then when she started investigating where the money was coming from, she realized that actually, you know, maybe it wasn't the best idea to jump into that. And that's because, you know, there's other things out there that this person wanted to impact and this person wanted to get involved in. So look, don't just take face value, right? Look and dig and ask questions and
figure out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, figure out and talk with people in your environment. Yes, so make sure that you also sometimes took the idea with some people who are a bit more experienced, especially just like you said, a bit on the extra perspectives. And also, like for example, now everything, of course, like green and wind power and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it sounds amazing. It is amazing, but also half of it is just money driven crap. Which is more around the whole business model around it. And you also always have people also make a business model around poverty or around other stuff. So absolutely, just make sure you also, when you're engaged into something, make sure you, like I said earlier, talk a lot with people around it. Gain different perspectives, because that's important before you really dive in. But I think especially for business starters or people who are just really busy with their new startup, as so many people are doing these days, please, from day one, we all know, of course, that Simon Sinek wrote All About Why behind it, how important the purpose is. But I think you just glance quickly at his latest book, The Infinite Game. I really like that the thought where the difference between an infinite game and a finite game, that it's really, when you're purpose driven, it's endless. And with a finite game, with finite leaders, it's just about catching some KPIs and doing a nice exit at some point. And then you're getting back to the example we gave in the past. Mm. They say, okay, I'll just play first a finite game. I do a nice exit. And from then I'm going to see, hey, I've got money in my bank. I'm getting some impact. But hey, you don't need money to make impact. You just make sure you create a passion and purpose-driven journey, or become part of that. And everybody can do that. And it makes life absolutely more worthwhile and more fun and more engaging if you're part of something really, really useful.
Brilliant. And now we wrap up this part of the show. We get to the fun, but we get to the part where we have a bit of fun, right? And that's called the flash round. So the drum rolls come in. And let's go. So flash round, what is it? Everyone knows what it is, but I'm going to tell Hans what it is. So I ask you three questions, they sort of yes or no answers, and then I hand the mic over to you, and I'm sure there's a burning question you want to ask me, and you can ask me a question, and then we wrap up the show with a laugh and a cheers, and we head off on our merry way. So here it is. Let's go. Question number one we have: what's more important, social impact or profits?
Social impact.
Yeah, okay. Are you a visionary leader or a leader that executes?
Visionary.
Okay. Best place in the world, South Africa or the Netherlands?
Let's go for South Africa.
Oh, there we go. You won my heart. Okay, there we go. Now over to you, my friend.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about it, of course. What can I ask you back? But I thought, like we're not talked about purpose and passion, et cetera, et cetera. What is for you, you're doing the show now for quite a while already, more than 100 shows already. Yeah, what's making you ticking? What's your purpose? And how, I do have an idea about it, but I want to know your idea. Is that how does your show impact this people, planet, et cetera?
So I'm all about inclusiveness. Right. I want to create an inclusive financial ecosystem that, once built up, has a great impact on people in everyday life. Right. It can be people in low income, high income, etc. The podcast and the community I'm building up is all about really connecting the dots in the fintech ecosystem, being able to share ideas, share networks, share contacts, share solutions that allows each and every person in that ecosystem to have a huge impact in their particular community. And if we all work as a team, as a community, we're going to have a massive impact. So that's sort of what it's about, right? And the bit of knowledge that we give, that I give, and yourself and other guests give on a weekly basis, allows founders and executives to maybe get the know-how, even if it's at 1%, get more know-how that allows them to go on that journey and have a great impact and have that society impact that we so need. Because, you know, in all honesty, why is crypto only traded by a certain part of the world? Why? Yeah. You know, why can't everyone do it? Why can't everyone have access to it? Just like we're talking about now. I mean, you know, everyone should have access to the financial system. And I believe that access is being created through the fintech ecosystem. And I want to connect that fintech ecosystem up and really power it forward and boost it forward.
Hey man, here you go. Just look at how passionate that is when you talk about what really really drives you and how that possibly impacts directly and or indirectly the rest of the world. Thanks,
yeah.
Mate.
Cool. Yeah. Great question. And, you know, as we wrap up the show, I always like to ask my guests, how can folk out there get involved in your journey or even contact you or the guys guys and girls in your team to maybe, you know, have a chat, get more involved and ask questions?
Absolutely. Yeah, please just reach out. Just go to my LinkedIn profile. That's for me the easiest one. And I must admit, I'm a bit addicted to LinkedIn as well, so I always respond within 24 hours. So Hans Osnabrugge, if you check that out, and luckily Richard will spell it for you, because otherwise it's in English. It's just terrible. just send me an invite, and please put a description in your invite, because otherwise I hate to extract the invites without a brief description. Just throw me a few lines, and happy to help further and see how we can engage. Always looking for talented people or to partner with people or to just help people with some advice or get advice from others, because man, we also just getting started at this journey, so a long way ahead of us. So let's make sure, just like Richard says, let's connect the dots, let's connect to each other.
Awesome. And I'll include all the details in the show notes, guys and girls, just get in contact. And you know, listen mate, it's a really great show today, and I'll say this, really inspirational stuff that you guys are doing. It touches, you know, it goes a long way to my heart, because I'm from those neck of the woods, and I know the impact that this solution has to the people that you're serving. So, you know, super excited to check out your journey and your continued expansion and your continued impact on society and your community.
Thanks, man. Have a good day.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Cheers, all.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.